Dear Sugar is supported by
The universe has good news for the lost, lonely, and heartsick. Sugar is here, the both of us, speaking straight into your ears. I'm Cheryl Strayed.
I'm Steve Almond. This is Dear Sugar Radio.
Oh, dear soul, won't you please share some bittersweet days with me? I check my mailbox every day for any sugar you send my way.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Cheryl.
The letter we're going to discuss today is really interesting to me. It's from a writer who calls herself a wounded mama. And when I read her letter, I think that so many people who are parents are going to really relate to her question.
Big time, as are we. So
yeah, when you become a parent, you see your own parents in a new light. And sometimes that's positive, and sometimes that's negative, and sometimes that's complicated.
It's actually always complicated.
It's always complicated. Yeah. Well, you know, I think in my case, my feelings for my mother were not complicated. What they were is full of gratitude and love. You know, because I did lose my mom young and she wasn't there to see me become a mother, I understood who my mother was in a new light.
Yeah.
I understood the depth of her love. I'd always felt that love, but once I had my own kids, I understood deeply how she loved me. Yeah. And that was really uncomplicated. Now, my father's a different story.
Right. Well, let's hear this letter, because I think you're right. I think every parent, but especially the mothers, is going to resonate with them. Sugars, can we please talk about motherhood? I'm a newish mom of 19-month-old twins. They are perfect, beautiful, radiant, sacred. And I am suffocating under the weight of the self-fulfilling prophecy which I'm trying to resist, that I am going to fuck it all up permanently and irrevocably. For my life and for their lives, I want and need motherhood to be a healing transformation, not a self-destruction. I received some superbly messed up mothering from both my biological mother and a stepmother. My real mom experienced the onset of mental illness when I was a baby. She became a devoted Scientologist, fueled by their paranoid worldview, and she started selling off the family possessions to pay for clearings. My dad divorced her and took me to my grandparents' house when I was 2. My mom ended up homeless, and her mental illness went untreated. Treatment is against the rules in Scientology. She'd pop in and out of my life, calling, making and breaking dates, showing up unannounced to pick me up one day at kindergarten. My father says that when she'd call to cancel a visit, I would cry as if she had died. While my grandmother took care of me, my father went to grad school and eventually found a new wife whom he married when I was 5 years old. Unfortunately, the step-family dynamic was fucked up in its own right. I can still barely articulate it because my stepmom is so insidiously brilliant and narcissistic and manipulative and in control of the narrative. In a post-college conversation with my father about why I broke into tears whenever I returned to the house, he admitted that my stepmother believed he loved me more than he loved my half-sister, the daughter he had with her, and that she had always seen me as competition. At a time when I desperately needed my father, my stepmother was there telling me that I was selfish and manipulative and attention-seeking. When I succeeded with music and academics, she was disdainful and dismissive. Through these and a million other moments, I developed a belief that I was a defective person, a permanent failure, and a nobody. Furthermore, I learned that success was a double bind because I would be punished with rejection. I play out these beliefs over and over in my life. Success is as dangerous as failure, and I am terrified of both. All I ever wanted in my life was love. In college, I had a crystal clear moment when I was traveling on a bus in Mexico, writing in my journal. I had no vision of the future, no career goals, but I wrote that I wanted to, quote, foster connection and resist separation. As college cliche as it may sound, it struck a major chord. This need has driven all of my decisions. I married my first love, though I never dreamed of having kids. 7 years into our marriage, it hit me that I wanted to be a mother, and I never had a single doubt in the 2 years that it took us to conceive. I love my children. I love my husband. Motherhood is so fraught for me. I know that immense challenges are in store. I know that parenthood involves inevitable failure, that I'm going to let them down. I have a great therapist, and I've done some good work. Sugars, please help me. How can I grieve for the losses and hurts that are still unhealed in me? How can I find the strength and develop the self-esteem needed to survive parenthood? How can I accept that my own mothering experiences will inevitably shape who I am as a mother, for better and for worse? How can I honestly bring my fucked up past and my wounded self into a whole, present, and deeply loving mothering relationship with my children? It is what I truly want more than anything. I would so very much like to hear your thoughts. Sincerely, Wounded Mama. P.S. Is there a friend for me in literature, any character or book that could help me think and feel through this all?
I can see why Wounded Mama would be writing to us at this moment in her life. She's just had this enormous thing happen. She had not just one baby, but two twins, and she's suddenly in this entirely new role. What mother has meant to her, really, all of her life, has been a wound. It's been pain. And now here she is stepping into this very role and hoping not to do that same thing to her children. I think, you know, the first thing I would say to Wounded Mother is her letter just shimmers with beauty and love. Well, you know, she says she long ago decided that she wanted to spend her life fostering connection. And I think it's really clear that she's doing that. And she's doing that in having this kind of consciousness as she becomes a mother.
Right. I do think at the same time there are some connections she might not be making. I think a lot about especially our experiences when we're very young before we can consciously protect ourselves psychically. So I think it actually is significant that she has 19-month-old twins. Mm-hmm. And I think it's significant for two reasons. 19 months is coming up on two. And what happened in her life when she was two. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter whether your mother is defective or troubled or mentally ill. She's your mom. And we know from attachment theory and all the studies that is the central figure, the base in our lives. And at two, what happened is her mother was disappeared. I think psychically, that ghost is there. That timeline is there. The second thing that's really notable is she has two ways of looking at motherhood. One, it's supposed to be a process of self-actualization that's going to rescue her, and she needs it to be a healing transformation. But then on the other hand, it could be her destruction. And I think this is where her experience with both her mom and her stepmother, who was very destructive, comes into play, that it's somehow motherhood threatens to destroy her. It's something that you have to endure or survive. But the interesting thing is that's a double bind. And we know what happens with Wounded Mama when she's in a double bind. She defines parenthood as either success or failure, an absolute success or failure, and she's doomed at that point. She has got to take the pressure off herself. Because I think what strikes me as so powerful in this letter is that this mama is not wounded. I think she's doing fantastically.
I think that she is wounded. I think that something really deep and essential happened to her early in her life. And she has confronted it at different junctures in her life. Mm-hmm. And here is another juncture. And one of the things that has happened to me in my own life, whenever I do have to go back and visit a wound that I think maybe, okay, I've healed that. I have come to really believe it's just that each time we go visit that wound, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And I think that, you know, becoming a mother has raised her consciousness about the ways that her mother's failed her. And I think it's okay to say, I'm haunted. I'm haunted by this experience I had as a daughter. Yep. And I don't want to haunt my own kids in the same way.
Absolutely. I think the reason that I'm pushing back against that is she seems to be labeling herself. She talks about a self-fulfilling prophecy. Absolutely, she is wounded, but it seems to me she has done extraordinary work to repair the things that she can, repair the ruptures and manage them that she can.
Well, and I think that motherhood is probably already a healing transformation for Wounded Right. Mama. I think that she wrote to us speaks to the fact that she's on a healing journey. I think to Wounded Mama, this moment in her life, it's not so much about her as a mother, but her as an individual. I remember when my oldest child, my son Carver, was about three, he had reached the age that I was at when I was sexually abused by my grandfather. And it came up again because I could see him. You know, we have such an intimate physical relationship with our children. And I could, you know, hold him and see his body. And I knew a three-year-old, my very own son. Mm-hmm. And I suddenly was remembering that I was known too by an adult who decided to violate me mm-hmm. at that age. And I was shocked. I had always been shocked, but I had never been so shocked as when I had my own three-year-old.
Right.
And it really did bring it back up for me. And I remembered that when I read Wounded Mama's letter. Because I think that this is maybe happening for her. As yep. you point out, you know, her kids are approaching the age where she lost her mom and the body remembers.
Right.
And maybe in some ways she's really just again being asked to heal this wound in a deeper way. And it's being presented to her via her children. And so it makes her afraid as a mother. But really the challenge is her as an individual. How does she heal again this deep sorrow?
Yeah.
So we know someone who has grappled with the same question and seems to have found some answers. My friend Renee Denfeld is a writer in Portland. She's written several works of nonfiction, and her most recent book is a novel, a wonderful novel called The Enchanted.
This is Renee.
Hi, Renee. This is Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me and Steve today. Have you read the letter from Wounded Mama?
Yes, I have. I have it right here on my computer screen. It's absolutely heartbreaking. I completely relate to it.
I thought so. I thought of you when I read the letter, and Steve and I have been discussing it a bit before we'd called you. So we are now curious about what your take is on this moment in this woman's life.
Well, you know, it absolutely reminds me of, it's been almost 20 years now since I decided to become a parent. And I also came from a really difficult mothering background. My mother actually had a lot of challenges herself, including just really raging alcoholism. And the result was that, you know, a lot of really terrible things happened to me. And when I was a child, we were very poor. We lived in this little kind of one-bedroom shack in a very poor, very bad part of town. There's quite a number of us. And the man that I consider my father, who's a registered predatory sex offender, at that time was a very notorious, well-known pimp. And I was actually raised in this extremely criminal, negligent, violent situation. People kicking in the door with shotguns, awful offenses that were committed against me and other family members. So when I decided I wanted to be a mother, I had all these same feelings. You know, I really wanted to experience mothering in a positive way, and I was so terrified I was going to fail. You know, I had all those same, you know, huge concerns. What if I repeat the same dynamic? You know, it's absolutely terrifying. So, you know, I just really related to this letter. And I really wish I could just reach out and give her a hug and tell her it's going to be okay.
I mean, obviously, Wounded Mama had an extreme situation and you did. But I think many people can relate to that. Even when you have loving parents, there are aspects of their parenting that you don't want to carry to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened when you became a mother?
Well, that's, you know, what I really want to reassure her is when I say it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. I actually adopted my kids. And when I got my first, I remember sitting on the edge of the bed holding my new daughter, and I was just sobbing. And I think I was sobbing from relief and love and fear and happiness mm-hmm. and all these miraculous feelings that just kind of swept over me. And, you know, the one piece of advice I can give to her that, you know, I think is so important is just to embrace these babies and to move forward. You know, what I found is, you know, I knew I wanted to be a mom. I knew I wanted to do a good job. I was mindful like she was. I, you know, took parenting classes. I read books. I did all these things. but it was the act of mothering that really healed me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize it at the time, but I think this is what she's going to find, is all the beautiful mothering that she does, every time she sits down and prays with her babies, you know, go out, have fun, give your children the childhood that you wish you had. And as you do that, it's profoundly healing. By giving my children the childhood I wish I would have had, I got to experience it too.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing more healing than that. You're nurturing your children in the way that you yourself want to be nurtured.
Exactly. And I think what she's going to find is it's not going to just show her that she is capable of this. She is going to be a good mother, and I'm convinced of it.
Yeah.
She's going to prove that to herself. But she's also going to get to experience all those wonderful times herself. For the first time, that was my experience. For the first time in my life, I discovered what it was like to feel mothered. And I did that by mothering my children.
Wow.
And it was the most transformative, beautiful, wonderful thing that ever happened to me. I just know it's going to be wonderful for her too.
Yeah. So Renee, 20 years of being a mother, did those initial fears fall away? Or, you know, how long did it take for you to stop thinking about essentially being haunted by your own childhood and the sorrows of your own past?
Oh, well, that's just, you know, an excellent question. And I have to say, you know, I still think about it a lot. But now I'm kind of on the other side of the journey. You know, it took, when my kids were young, to be honest, you know, there were times it was a struggle. Because I think parenting young children is difficult as it is. And so there were a lot of times, you know, where I continued to have doubts. For me, what happened is just the act of parenting is so all-encompassing. I mean, it just keeps us so busy that those doubts kind of faded away over time. And I can say, you know, now I'm, after almost 20 years, I have three beautiful, amazing children. The oldest one graduated and is working, going to college. I just had another son graduate from high school. My kids are amazing. You know, I'm on the other side, and I can look back and I feel like I was a good mother.
Yeah.
You know, I was a good mother. I wasn't perfect. None of us are. But I think, you know, in 20 years' time, she's going to look back and be able to say exactly the same thing. And not only is she going to feel like, hey, I was a good mother, she's going to have her babies tell her the same thing.
Mm.
And that's going to heal her in ways that she doesn't know yet, but it's going to be beautiful.
That's great. Thank you, Renee. That is it's such a delight, because I think Wounded Mama is somebody who's putting, as we were talking about, so much pressure on herself and really, you know, wanting motherhood to be either the thing that's her utter redemption and heals the past, or the thing that she's secretly fearful is, like with her mother, is going to send her over the brink. And, you know, it's quite an unforgiving way of looking at parenting, which, as you're pointing out, is moment by moment can be frustrating. But in the long term, when you look back at it, it's really then that you realize, wow, okay, I did a good job. But at the time, it's very difficult to esteem it, even if you're not somebody who's battling with the ghosts of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that's an excellent point as well. Is it's also very important for us to take care of ourselves. You know, the part of her journey has to be, you know, she has to prioritize, you know, whatever she needs. You know, does she, you know, need ongoing therapy? I still see a counselor myself. You know, what does she need to take care of herself to help her? You know, we can't expect our children or our families to do everything for us. You know, I think the journey heals us, but we also have to be advocates for ourselves about what we need to feel good and to take the time, you know.
Right.
You know, when you start becoming a parent, all these, if you haven't dealt with these issues, they sure come roaring back.
Yep.
I would look at my kids and I would think, when I was that age, this happened to me.
Renee, before you got on the phone, I said that very thing. I was saying to Steve, I was first sexually abused when I was three. And when my son Carver, my oldest child, became three, I suddenly was haunted again. I remembered all of these things that happened to me at that age because I was so shocked that somebody had done that.
Yeah. And for me, it was actually ended up, a lot of stuff actually ended up being a positive revelation. Because part of the dynamic of my particular family that I relate to this woman's letter very much is my family, like a lot of families, was sexual abuse, and it kind of created these narratives and these stories in which the abuse was protected. And as the primary victim, unfortunately, my reality was often discounted. Even when, I mean, obviously, you know, even when things are proven in my family, this dynamic still continues. One could have a piece of paper showing the events occurred, and there's a narrative element in my family which will deny that it ever happened. So for me, actually, part of the healing aspect of parenting was I was able to look at my kids and think similar kind of things. When I was 4 years old, this happened, or when I was this old, this happened, and I was able for actually the first time in my life to really think and feel, you know what? That was wrong.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Me too. For sure.
I think that's the first time I was able to really feel in my soul, that shouldn't have happened to me. That should not have happened.
You knew it intellectually before that, but
exactly.
To know it in your soul, the way I said it is you know it in your body. The body does have a truth. It tells the truest story, I think.
Yes, and in that way, it was really positive for me, but it's also a journey because, you know, as my children grew up, there's all those ages and times, and I would think, wow, when I was that old, I can't believe that I was doing, you know, this and this happened to me. And but also having a chance to reframe it and thinking, you know, like I imagine, you know, with you and three-year-old Carver having a chance to get to him being age 4 and 5 and realizing that it didn't happen to him.
Yeah.
That you were able to protect your baby.
Well, Renee, I'm curious if there's a moment in your, you know, life as a mom where you did feel yourself or catch yourself maybe repeating a negative pattern from your own childhood.
And what you did about that, if you did.
Oh, wow. Yes. Actually, I think there have been more than one. And luckily, there were little things. But my mother, as part of her challenges, for instance, was very histrionic, which is very frightening to a child is when somebody's having a histrionic fit. But there were times, I remember, when my kids were little where, you know, I would be stressed and sleep-deprived and cranky. And I remember, you know, veering towards, you know, like, for instance, having a crying fit in front of them and having to catch myself and saying, no, you know, if you're going to have a good cry, you need to go off by yourself to do that. You know, so I think that just, you know, being mindful of those moments. So I think her body, as Cheryl would say, her body's going to tell her. There's going to be that shock of recognition that says, you know, this isn't right. Don't do this.
Yeah. This wounded mama actually has an opportunity because, as Cheryl talks about a lot, you know, people, even bad parents and bad friends are teachers in some way. And so her stepmom, who in fact, Renee, as you were talking about, nobody really listened to my version of it. It wasn't believed. It was discounted. That's exactly what Wounded Mama is describing with her stepmother. She didn't have control of the narrative. And every time she tried to express her selfhood and who she was, it was either ignored, neglected, or actually, you know, punished and stigmatized. But that means that Wounded Mama is going to know when she finds herself discounting what her kids are saying or not allowing them to express who they are, not being attuned to who they are. And she's going to remember that. It's going to come up in her body, and she's going to recognize that that was teaching me that that's not really how you love and care for a child. That's not good parenting. So in a certain way, she's had very negative experiences, but very powerful teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. My experience with my parenting actually is that it was the dealing with the manipulative, reality dislocating narcissistic narrative was actually far more damaging to me personally than some of the abuse that occurred.
Yeah.
Because, you know, any time that you're told that your reality is wrong, even when, you know, it flies in the face of any sort of proof, that's a really hard thing to battle because you lose a sense of yourself. And, you know, I would really encourage Wounded Mama to make sure that she does those things to remind herself that she is a good person, she is going to be a good mother, that her instincts regarding her kids are going to be good. You know, that she is innately capable, a loving, grand, wonderful person that's innately capable of this. And to not get in a place where she's doubting her reality, having come from this history, that's going to be something that might be a challenge for her.
That's such great advice, Renee, and what a wonderful note to end on. Thank you so much for talking to us. You are truly one of my heroines. I have so much respect and admiration for you as a writer and a woman and a mother. And we appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. The feeling is so completely mutual, and I wish I could tell you how delighted I was to be on your show with you and Steve, and just sending a big, big hug out to Wounded Mama and telling her it's going to be just fine. I hope she gets back in 20 years and brags about her babies, because I think she will.
And they'll brag about her.
That's right. They'll brag about her. What a great mom they have.
Yes, they will.
Bye.
All right, bye.
You know, what's so beautiful about Wounded Mama's letter is if she will just allow herself, she has adapted so remarkably. And, you know, it's hard to esteem that, but that's what she needs to recognize. Motherhood is not going to save everything and redeem everything, but she has actually, for years, been on the right path. And now she has another moment to challenge herself, but she cannot respond by putting herself in that terrible double bind and putting more pressure on herself. And the truth is that we have some great recommendations, because she also asked for books.
And you've got some.
That will keep her company. Well, you should read Torch, and you should read Wild. I think you should read both of those books by Cheryl. She can't say that, but
who
I can.
Who wrote those books?
Cheryl Strayed wrote both of those books.
That's sweet.
And I'll also recommend, finally, the book The Good Mother by Sue Miller. It's a tough book. But I think that's part of the reason I'm recommending it, because that mom is realizing that she hasn't done it perfectly and has made a mistake and has to manage that. You know, it's not the perfect mother, it's the good mother. And it's a lot of it is about the expectations and the unfair expectations that we put on ourselves as parents, and especially that moms put on themselves.
Yes. And of course, all of Renee Denfeld's books.
Yes.
She has written very deeply in both fictional and nonfictional ways about the human spirit. So happy reading, and Wounded Mama, we know you're a great mama already. Write us back down the road and tell us how it's going.
Yeah, and send pictures, please.
Of those cute baby twins. Dear Sugar Radio is produced by WBUR. We're produced and edited by Lisa Tobin. This episode was recorded at Cybersound in Boston. Send your letters to us at dearsugarradio@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. Thanks.